Are we committed? Some people think I should be, but that's not the committed I'm talking about. I saw this on a marquee sign at a church, so I knew they were talking about how committed are we to God. So let's take a look at people in the Bible who are committed to God, not necessarily at the same level, though. If you'll turn to Jonah 1 in verse 1. Said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In verse 2 it says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. So of course Jonah has this foolproof plan to fool God. You know, he jumps on a ship to Tarshish, and by doing this, you know, God won't be able to find him, and somebody else will have to go do the job. So he goes down to hold of the ship and probably fell asleep under a blanket, make it even harder for God to see him. Let's read the rest of this chapter and just see how well that worked for him. So if we go to verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. They were probably really upset when they found out they didn't need to really do that. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. In verse 6, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. What bad luck he had. Of all those people on the ship, it was him that Lot was cast on. So in verse 8, so they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? And what people are you? So they wanted a lot of answers quick because they were pretty scared about what was happening. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not. The sea continued to grow. Verse 14, therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased in its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and took a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. And then the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and he stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So he had thought he could, you know, get away from God, so because he didn't want to go to Nineveh and try to get them to convert. But now let's go down to Judges. Turn to Judges 11. read the story of Jephthah, who is counted among the faithful in Hebrews. Jephthah was an outcast of his family and his tribe because he's the son of a harlot. He had banded together with a group of mighty men. When his people were threatened, they sought his help. Well, he'd went to Ammon and to give him a warning. So let's start in verse 28. So he gave the people of Ammon a warning. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed his words, which Jephthah sent them. Said, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah and passed through Gilead and Manasseh and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the door of my house and to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. I will offer as a burnt offering. So he's probably hoping his dog or maybe his cat would come out. He wouldn't mind giving that up so much. But it was his only child, his daughter. So if we get down to verse 35. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me. For I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you and your enemies, the people of Ammon. So even his daughter really didn't even complain. I mean, she was willing to accept without really knowing what he had done. And what about Gideon? He's listed among the faithful too. Three times he'd asked a sign from God. You don't need to turn there, but it's Judges 6, starting in 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And then he said to him, if I've now found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here. Do not depart from here. I pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Verse 19, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread with an ephah of flour. And the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under a terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay it on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire arose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Then there was a second time he'd asked for a sign, and that's in verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if it is dew on the fleece only and is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then he did ask a third time. And Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry in the fleece only, but there was dew all on the ground. And we know the story of how God kept making the army fewer and fewer men. And then God gave Gideon another proof that he would be with him in battle. It happened on the night that the Lord had said to him, "Arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down to the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, and the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it, so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Even though he required so much proof, God still counted him among the faithful and committed. Now if you'll turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. If I can get to it. First Peter 2 and verse 23. Says, "Who when he was reviled did not revile in return, but he suffered. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Yeah, they're talking about Jesus there. And this is how committed God is to us. None of us, of course, can show that kind of commitment. But we have times when we fall short, but God is there to give us whatever help we need to succeed. So, how committed are we?